ब्रह्मानन्दम् परमसुखदम् केवलम् ज्ञानमूर्तिम् द्वन्द्वातीतम् गगनसदृशम् तत्त्वमस्यादिलक्ष्यम् एकम् नित्यम् विमलमचलम् सर्वधी साक्षिभूतम् भावातीतम् त्रिगुणरहितम् सद्गुरुम् तम् नमामि. Because we started doing Tattva Bodha, now it will be easy for you to understand. Because all these verses talk about two things. They talk about the nature of the Anatma. They talk about the nature of the Atma also. What is the nature of the Anatma? Anatma and Atma both have no beginning, both have no end. Both are eternal. But what is absolutely eternal and what is perennially eternal? That means absolutely eternal means what? What is that? Of the two, nothing is created. Atma, of course, is eternal, therefore it is not created. Anatma also is what? Not created. What is anatma? Anything which is other than atma, everything else is anatma. And we also know everything is anatma means there we saw how the Shariratrayam, Panchakoshaha and Avasthatrayam, the 11 components constitute what? Anatma. Of the 11 we are discussing now what? Shariratrayam. In the second chapter of Gita, we are talking about the Shariratrayam. And we are not talking much about the Karana Shariram. We are talking much about the Sukshma Shariram and Sthula Shariram. Sthula Sukshma Sharire, okay, these two, physical and gross body, constitute what? Anatma. These two alone do not constitute anatma. We say sthula shariram, sukshma shariram and karana shariram, all the three sharirani, okay, causal body from which the subtle and the gross body evolved, are manifested, and subtle body and the gross body, all the three bodies are anatma, belong to the anatma aspect. Anatma means what? We already saw anatma is mithya. What is atma? Atma is satyam. What is satyam? That which has independent existence. What is mithya? That which has dependent existence. And the mithya is that which has dependent existence. That means what? That which does not have independent existence is mithya. We say anatma is mithya, atma is satyam. That means what is mithya anatma is dependent on satya atma for its existence. The very causal body from which the sthula sukshmairam have evolved, this causal body itself is what? Causal matter itself is mithya. Then what about the product? The cause itself is mithya. Effect also is what? Mithya. The matter in its causal form, the matter in its subtle and as manifested form, both are, the cause is mithya, effect also is definitely mithya. For both the cause and the effect, mithya cause and the mithya effect, both are dependent on one satyam. Either in the form of effect or in the form of cause, the matter is what? Anatma. Understand? Matter is mithya. Whether it is in the causal form or whether it is in the form of an effect, still it is what? Mithya. As a cause also, matter is mithya. As an effect also, matter is mithya. And if we say mithya, that means what? It has existence. Mithya is something which has existence. We don't something non-existent. Mithya is something which has existence. But when you say it's mithya, we know very well what is mithya. It is that which has no independent existence. That means it exists depending upon something else. And what is it which depending upon which it is, the mithya has exists, mithya exists, is satyam. And that satyam is atma. Understand? So we know very well, atma, the satyam, which is satyam, which is self-existent, which does not depend upon something else for its existence, okay, which has independent existence. When you say it has independent existence, means what? It is self-existent, means it has no beginning, it has no cause. Please understand, listen to this order now. I have to tell you about this now. Atma is something which satyam. Satyam means the which has no dependent existence, which has independent existence. That means if we say it has independent existence, means it has no cause. Anything which has a cause has dependent existence. Atma has no, okay, Atma has independent existence, therefore it has no cause. Self-existent, never cause. Because it has no cause, it is causeless, it is uncaused. Because it is uncaused, anything which has anything which has dependent existence has a cause. And because it has no cause, now we say anything which has no cause has no beginning. Anything which has a cause has a beginning. The causeless is what? Beginningless. Understand? The causeless is beginningless. If we say causeless is beginningless, if it is beginningless, that which has no beginning has no end. Therefore, it is endless. The beginningless and endless is changeless. The changeless means what? We say eternal. Okay? It is timeless. Atma, which is of the nature of timelessness. Okay? Trikala abadhitam is satyam. Trikala abadhitam means that which cannot be negated as something which is not there. Is trikala trishu kaleshu api abadna badhyate. That which cannot be negated as non-existent in any time. Always atma is. That's satyam. Therefore that satyam, atma, now understand, atma is of the nature of timelessness. Why? Because it is beginningless, it is endless, it is eternal. Why? Because it has no cause. Why? It has no cause. Because it has independent existence. And what is it, Atma? Which is of the nature of knowledge, which is pure knowledge, pure awareness, pure consciousness, Atma. Because it has no dependent existence, not only it has self-existent, it also lends existence to the anatma. This atma, listen now, the atma which is of the nature of, which is pure knowledge, pure awareness, consciousness, which is timeless, which is eternal, which is beginningless and endless, which is changeless, which is causeless, uncaused, which is self-existent, okay, which has independent existence, lends existence to anatma. And what is anatma? The matter in its subtle form, and the matter in its gross form, matter in its causal form. Therefore, the matter in causal form, either it exists in causal form, or it exists in subtle and gross form, or it exists in causal form, or it exists in subtle and gross form. This matter constantly, it has the interconvertibility. I mean, it keeps on undergoing changes. But this matter also has no beginning, no end. Matter also is not destructible. Matter also is not subject to destruction. But it constantly undergoes changes. Atma is of the nature of changelessness. Anatma is of the nature of changing. Understand? Undergoing change. But it is not destroyed absolutely, totally. That means it's always available in different forms. If you see a big cutty tree has gone, you see big box of wood. And you take the wood, bark of wood, cut into many pieces, you have too many two many pieces of wood. Then burn the this wood, then you see ashes. Again, throw the ashes, they become minerals mixed with the, like they continue to exist. This is a total destruction for any material product. The example I have just given, only one example. We understand nothing is destroyed. And we say all that we see here are what? All the five gross elements we see, and the elemental products which are born of the gross elements, also what? The gross bodies, the gross things which we perceive through physical eyes, all are what? Modified forms of five gross elements. So five gross elements and the elemental products, all are what? The same matter. They constantly undergo changes. The way we saw Shankara saying, asti jayate vipanamate apakshiyate nashiti, they constantly undergoes changes, but it doesn't get destroyed totally. Understand, the constant change on the part of the matter is said to be relative destruction. It's also known as death, known by the term death. This is how anatma is. And the subtle body also is what? It is also, it undergoes changes, but it is not destroyed at all. Continues to be there. And then what is that which does not undergo any change at all is this Atma. This is the nature of the Atma. This is the nature of the Anatma. Even if we want to bring about a change on the part of Atma, it is not possible. Even if we want to stop the Anatma from undergoing change, we cannot do that. That is, okay, they both are of the two orders of the same reality. One is Satyam, another one is Mithya. We have no say over it. We have to understand the facts as facts, and we have to accept the facts intelligently. That is maturity. We can't afford to be innocent, and we can't say, no, I don't want Mithya to be undergoing changes. We can't say that. That shows we are immature people. Okay? Then we have to accept it as it is. Okay? This is understanding. Understand it, and then what are you worrying about? Who is worrying here? Who is the one who's getting worried? Who's worrying? Where is the worry? What is worry? Okay, that's what is Krishna is telling Arjuna. See, basic text understanding is there. How easy it is to go ahead now. Now I realized. Otherwise, we had to be talking what is, whether it is very confused, isn't it? Can you see that, Miriam, now? Those classes help you to understand Gita differently, very fast. You can go now. Not only very fast. The whole thing goes in like this. Don't you think now, Kevin Mahodaya?
Yes.
So here, that's why I really wanted to complete it sometime. We had to do that anyway. We left it just a little bit and we stopped it. Anyway, so this is how the anatma is. And second thing, what are you worried about now? Atma is mistaken to be the anatma, and we also think the relative change which happens on the part of the anatma is mistaken to be the change which takes place on the part of the atma. That is why Arjuna is worried now. Oh, atma is going to be killed and all that. So Krishna is saying, say this anatma has dependent existence. Even the causal body from which the subtle and gross bodies evolve, that itself is dependent on the Atma. And what about the subtle and gross bodies? They are also dependent on the Atma. So how can the Mithya depend, Mithya, this Anatma body, the gross and subtle body, which constitute the Mithya Anatma, which are dependent on Atma for its existence, bring about any destruction to the Atma? How can the wave destroy the water? Impossible. How can the wave destroy the water? Very wave exists where? It is very life is dependent on the water. It borrows its existence and life from water. How can this wave destroy the Atma? The water. Similarly, how can these bodies destroy the Atma? Similarly, what about the elements? All the five gross elements. All the gross elements are also what? Matter. They depend on what? any matter is anatma, anatma is dependent on the atma, satya atma. How can any material matter in the form of elements, matter in the form of elemental products or elements, how can they destroy the satya atma? Mithya anatma, the matter, matter number five, elements are the material products, or understand, how can they destroy the atma? Impossible, they cannot destroy. That is why this the verse said that we, for the four elements are mentioned, the fifth element is implied. What is this? Nainam chindanti shastrani. Shastrani, the weapons which are held in hand and used to stab or anything, is called shastram. Astram means a weapon which is thrown. Asyate iti astram, grihyate iti shastram. Okay? Therefore, astrani, shastrani, all varieties of weapons and missiles, okay, can be used to destroy what? The matter can destroy another material product, but not the atma, not even the subtle body. I tell you, the weapon can cut the neck, cut the hands and legs, but it cannot undo the mind. That's why they come again with the same fire, okay? It cannot undo the mind, it cannot undo the prana, it cannot destroy the subtle body. The gross weapons cannot destroy the subtle body. It cannot destroy the matter in its subtlest form, causal form. It cannot do anything. Cannot understand anything to the atma, the awareness. It's clear now. Therefore, na enam chintanti shastrani. Shastrani, the weapons, do not cleave or cut the atma. Na enam chindanti, na dahati pavakaha. What about fire? Fire is another element. Which is a gross element? Fire in its gross form or subtle form? Both the forms, it is what? Nothing but evolved form of the causal matter, which is anatma, which has different existence on the atma. Understand? Which is also what? Cannot destroy the atma. Na enam pavakaha dahati. Similarly, na apaha kledayanti enam. Enam atmanam. This atma, this self, pavakaha, the fire, the purifier, which destroys everything into ashes and purifies. Okay, the purifying power, the fire also, cannot, in subtle or gross form, cannot destroy the atma. Na pavakaha enam dahati. Na cha enam kledayanti apaha. In subtle form, as a gross element or a subtle element, whatever it is anatma. Anatma means what? The matter means anatma. It is jada. It is dependent on what? Consciousness, the atma, for its existence. So, it cannot drown, it cannot wet, damp in the atma. So, nacha apaha kledayanti. Apaha na kledayanti. Na soshayati martaha. So does the wind. No? Is anatma, it is, so it is the wind, not dry up the atma. So we had included space also. This space, all accommodative space, it accommodates everything in space, but still this space also is as a matter. I tell you, this is something very special about this space, okay? Even space also is what? Subtlest form of matter. The gross space or the subtle space, the space is what? Just the matter. Therefore, this is also what? An object of knowledge, dependent on the awareness for its existence. Therefore, this also cannot destroy the atma. So, nainam chindanti shastrani, nainam dahati pavakaha, nache enam soshyati marataha, na kedayanti apaha. Okay? This is how the atma is. Now, what are we worried about? Hey, Arjuna, what are you worrying about? Are you worried about the indestructibility of the atma, are you worried about the changing nature of the anatma? Are anatma being dependent on the atma, or atma being independent of the anatma? What are you worried about? Can you change it? Change this. This is how the atma and anatma are there. In fact, satya mithya are two orders of the only reality. Understand? We don't even say that. There are two things are not there. two orders of the only reality. And what are you worried about? That reality is what? Satyatma is you. What are you worried about? Really speaking. And he tells the same meaning, he gives in a passive form, passive voice. He uses the passive voice, why? To make his expression, to make this, to come, to restates. Sometimes the statements of facts are restated to emphasize the expression. To make the expression more emphatic, they restate it, redo it. Like that here also is given the passive voice now. Achedyoyamadahyoyam akledyososhya evacha achedyoyamadahyoyam achedyoyamadahyoyam akledyososhya evacha nityasarvagatasthanuh achaloyam sanatanah. He says, I am, this verse, first verse said, what the anatma cannot do to the atma. Now in this verse he says, what is the nature of the atma? Again he repeats it here. By stating what anatma cannot do the atma, also he stated the nature of the atma, the indestructibility of the atma. Again he says the same thing, achedyaha I am. Adahyaha ayam, akledyaha ayam, asoshyaha ayam. What has been said before is given in the passive voice. Ayam achedyaha, ayam means this. Not English ayam here. The Sanskrit ayam is third person singular pronoun. Okay, ayam means yeshaha. Yeshaha atma, ayam atma na chedyaha. Okay, chedya cannot be cleaved, cannot be cut into pieces, cannot be destroyed through using any weapons which are the earthen or any earthen material. So, na chedyaha, ayam adahyaha, it cannot be burnt. Same thing is repeated, it cannot be burnt, atma cannot be burnt. I am adahyaha. I am akledyaha. This atma cannot be, cannot be really drowned. Cannot be given to any wet. So I am adahyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha. This cannot be dried up. The air cannot dry up. We saw in the previous verse. Here the same thing is said. No, atma cannot be dried up. Why? There are all the things, the wind which can dry up, all these things, no, all anatma, the material product, mithya. It's just the mithya when you say, just understand, it is dependent on satyam. What is satyam here? Atma. How can the mithya anatma, is dependent on satya atma, destroy, dry up, or burn? How can they do? Therefore, I am adahyaha, I am achedyaha, I am adahyaha, I am akledyaha, I am atma asoshyaha. I am means this atma. You can say, yes, I the self am the atma, achedyaha, akledyaha, asoshyaha. You can say that. No problem. Then, what is this atma? If it is indestructible, can be cut and cleared, it can be burned, it can be dried up. What is this atma? Nitya sarvagatasthanuh achaloyam sanatanah. This I am nityaha. Okay, I am Nityaha. There we saw Nitya, Nityavastuvi, Kahkaha. We saw that. I am Nityaha. Nityaha means what? Everlasting. Eternal. Why Atma is Nityaha? Just now I told you, I've already finished teaching, but still I'm telling. Why it is Nityaha, eternal? Because it has no beginning. It is beginningless and it is endless. Beginningless, endless, changeless reality, therefore it is Nityaha. Why it is beginningless, endless, changeless? Because it is causeless. Why it is causeless? Because it is self-existent. Uncaused, causeless, uncaused, cause. Okay, it is change. It is self-existent. How? It has not dependent existence. It does not depend upon anything else for its existence. The Mithya Anatma for its existence. That is why it is Nityaha. Nityaha, not only Nityaha, time-wise eternal, it is also spatially limitless. Not only Atma is time-wise limitless, time-wise infinite, it is spatially also is what? Limitless. How? Sarvagataha. Nityaha, next is Sarvagataha. Sarvatra gachati iti Sarvagataha. There is no place where it has not gone. Means what? It is all pervasive. Due to its all pervasiveness, now it's also what? Spatially limitless. Nityaha stands for eternity of the Atma, and then Sarvagataha implies the all pervasiveness of the Atma. The spatially Atma being spatially limitless is expressed by the word Sarvagatam. Sarvagatattvam is Atma Swarupam. Therefore, Sarvagataha. Nityaha sarvagataha, nitya sarvagata sthanuho. Okay, if it is sarvagataha, it is all pervasive, that means what? There is no space, no place, there is nothing which is not permeated and pervaded by consciousness, the Atma. Because there is no place, it is not there, everywhere it is there, pervading everything, therefore there is no gap, okay? Therefore, the movement is not possible on the part of the Atma. Listen, for any motion to take place, there must be some, okay, yes, an object which has spatial limitation alone can be moved or it can move. Motion, okay, mobility or movability is possible only if an object, place, something is spatially limited. A spatially unlimited, spatially limitless object. Everything is spatially limited. Every object in this universe, all the anatma and the anatma products have their time-wise spatially they are limited. And atma is nityaha, time-wise limitless, infinite, and sarvagataha, all-pervasive, therefore it is spatially limitless. And therefore, because it is spatially limitless, there is no space where it is not. Therefore, it cannot move. It cannot move. Why Atma cannot move? Sthanuhu. Sthanuhu means, okay, immovable, unmoving. Unmoving. That is why, because unmoving is the nature of the Atma, that is why we say there is no motion on the part of the Atma. There is no, okay, action on the part of the Atma. Atma is of the nature of actionlessness, motionlessness. Why Atma is of the nature of motionlessness? Changelessness. Listen, Atma is of the nature of changelessness, motionlessness, movement, action. Understand? Why? Because it is sthanuhu, unmoving. Why it is unmoving? Because it is all pervasive. Understand? All pervasive. How it is all pervasive? Because it is the very sat. It is the very sat of everything. It is the very existence of everything. Atma, being the existence of everything, it pervades everything. If the question may come, how does it pervade everything? Come on, if I say water is all pervasive in ocean, why? Water is the very sat, very existence of the entire ocean. Therefore, it pervades. So that which lends existence to life, lends life or existence to the mithya is what? the very existence of the mithya. Atma is the very existence of mithya anatma. Therefore, it pervades everything. Because it pervades everything, it's all pervasive. Because it's all pervasive, it's spatially also, it's limitless. Because it is spatially limitless and all pervasive, it is of the nature of changelessness and motionlessness. Okay? Therefore, it is what? Unmoving. Sthanuhu. You have to say why consciousness is of the nature of motionlessness. Sthanuhu. Nitya sarvagata sthanuhu. Okay, that consciousness does not move, then can we try to move consciousness? Is it immovable then? It's unmoving, that's fine. It is movable or what? The swayam unmoving. Okay? Anyana gena kena vapi muvyateva. Is it possible to muvyate? Okay? Is it possible to be moved away? I added Sanskrit passive affix to English root. Okay? Muvyateva. Sorry. Is it possible to be moved? No. It is immovable. Why? There is no second thing. There are only two things. Atma and Anatma. The matter in its causal form and its manifest form, the entire Anatma is what? Mithya. Mithya means what? Dependent existence. That which is of the nature of dependent existence. That means what? It exists depending upon the Satya Atma. So, and absolutely, what is there is only, you can look at this anatma, mithya, anatma as good as an effect. Satya Atma is as good as the cause. Therefore, anatma is atma, but atma is not anatma. Therefore, what is there is only atma in the absolute sense. There is no second reality other than the atma, which can stand nearby the atma to move it, to push it. Understand, for one thing to be moved away, there must be another thing to move it. Mover, moved. Difference must be there. Where is the mover? Who else is the mover? Understand? Therefore, there is a second other thing other than the Atma. Therefore, we say, really speaking, therefore, achalaha, immovable, sthanuhu, achalaha. Is it clear now? Very beautifully developed. Look at the connection to every word. How they develop it. Nitya sarvagata sthanuho achaloyam. Okay. One more word he adds. The first word is nityaha. The same word, meaning is given by another word, equally beautiful word. Sanatanaha. Even this, no? we never say Hindu dharma. Hindu dharma is sanatanaha dharmaha. The word sanatanaha means what? Sada means always. Sada means always. And tana means that which is connected to, pertaining to tana. The tana, when you add it with something else, how it is added to the time. We say adya, today. Adya, and we add tana, it becomes adyatana, today's. Shvaha, shvastana, tomorrow, tomorrows. Like that, sadatana means always, okay? That which belongs to all times. Sanatanaha means that which is there always. Sadatanaha. That which is always there. Eternal, same meaning. Sanatanaha means that which exists always. Sadatana. Otherwise said to be sanatanaha. Sanatanaha means eternal. Changeless, indestructible, everlasting, beginningless, endless, indestructible is what? The sanatanaha. This is the nature of the Atma. Here, understand? All our worries are because of our lack of maturity. The lack of maturity is because of our lack of understanding of the facts. lack of understanding of the facts, how does it cause problem? Because we mistake that we have all our perceptions and conceptions, no? They're all erroneous. All our problems we have in life are because of our wrong, erroneous, incorrect perceptions. So our perceptions have to get rid of the problems. We can never undo the problems. There's no way of undoing the problems without having our misconceptions, wrong perceptions and incorrect perceptions corrected. So to have our wrong perceptions corrected, all that we need to do is, we need to understand the facts. Once you understand the facts, then we accept the facts. We accept the facts, then we are mature. That's why I told in the very beginning. So Krishna wanted to start to make Arjuna understand. You're worrying so much for nothing. What is the problem? It's only lack of understanding, lack of maturity. From the standpoint of Krishna, Arjuna is a baby. From the standpoint of a great grandfather who is 90-year-old and who has lived his life very successfully, the child who is standing in front of crying for the toy, the broken toy, for the grandfather, how does the child look? The grandfather will not find fault with the baby child, accept the nonsense of the child. At the same time, the father will try to, the child is not of the age to understand the fact also. That is why give something else and give some chocolate and then pit. It doesn't mean the father accepts the child's behavior, child's okay, and helps the child to grow, to become mature. Expects the child to become mature at one point. Okay? That is what is parental care. That is what is parental love. Always give love, accommodate, accept the nonsense, help the person grow and help the person discover maturity. That is what is helping to grow. That is what is giving love. Okay? Otherwise, there is no other way love. And so here, Krishna is doing the same thing to Arjuna. He can't say, no, you are absolutely right, Arjuna. You are right, you are fine. You are okay, wonderful. It's natural for us to worry about these things. No. What are you worried about? This is what is a fact. It is, suppose a physics professor's son comes and cries. He says, no. You know what happens? I can't accept this. I don't want the energy to be converted into matter. Because your physics professor come and do something. He will wait for his son to become some 18 or 19 to understand this. He has to only wait because the nature, being able to understand the nature of things, being able to accept the nature, no, to be as it is, what it is what? Maturity. If we can accept the fact as a fact, then we can accept them. We can be with it, then we are free. Is it clear? Therefore, I think you see the order now. Very beautiful this is. Achedyo. Do you all feel sleepy now? Achedyo yamadahyoyam. Say. Achedyo yamadahyoyam. Akledyo sosha evacha. Akledyo sosha evacha. Nitya sarvagata sthanoho. Nitya sarvagata sthanoho. Achaloyam sanatanaha. Achaloyam sanatanaha. So I have done the meanings here. Now we'll do the bhashyam. Achedyaha ayam.
Achedyaha ayam.
Iti.
Iti.
So, it is now, they call Pratika Grahanam. I told you many times, whenever the first sentence, first word of the shloka or mantra is picked up and it is restated there before writing the Bhashyam, it is called that this verse, beginning with this word, is going to be commented upon now. Okay, that mention is called Pratika Grahanam. Okay, Yasmate.
Anyonya.
Nashahetuni.
Bhutani.
Yenam.
Atmanam.
Nashaitum.
Na.
Utsahante.
Tasmat.
Nityaha. See, Atma is Nityaha. Katham Nityaha Atma? Kena Karanena, Kasmat Karanate, Atma Nityaha. How do you say Atma is Nityaha? He simply says, Shankara says in his Bhashyam, Anyonya Nasha Hetuni Bhutani. See, all these elements, okay? The subtle elements are okay. All the elements and the elemental products, okay? See, matter in the manifest form is available in the form of elements and the elemental products. And what is nature? They are mutually destroying. Suppose, so that's why I say mutually they can destroy each other. Anyonya nasha hetuni. One element or the elemental product can bring about destruction to... Destruction means what? Not total destruction. Some change... Bring about the transformation, bring about the change of form. Okay, they can change the form of a given object. One element or the elemental product can change the form of another element or the elemental product. Anyonya nasha hetuni, they can destroy mutually. A weapon which is earthen, made of metal, can destroy what? Can cut a tree. Can be used to cut a tree, can cut any form, can dismantle the forms, change the forms. Like that, all the elemental products are mutually destroying. They're able to destroy mutually each other. Mutually, one elemental product can destroy the other elemental product. Anyoni nasha hetuni bhutani. But even though they're able to destroy each other, okay, they can bring about they can change the forms of each other, but they enam atmanam nashayitum na utsahante. They are not able to destroy the atma. They are incapable of destroying the atma. The reason I told you already, they are mithya. When you say why atma is satyam, anatma is mithya, they cannot destroy. That's all. I have explained to you already. Therefore, it is called nityaha. Because nityatvat sarvagataha, due to its eternity, due to the nature of the atma being eternal, eternity, okay? Because of its timelessness, due to the nature of its timelessness, atma is also what? All pervasive. Look at this. Due to its nature of timelessness, is also all pervasive. It's always there, it's all pervasive also. And nityatvata sarvagataha. And sarvagatatvata sthanuhu. Because of its all pervasiveness, it cannot move. Therefore, it's of the nature of motionlessness. Therefore, what has now? It is unmoving, sthanuhu. Is it clear now? Sthanuhu. Iva sthiraha, sthanuhu iva sthiraha. Sthanuhu means any stump is also called sthanuhu. The sthanuhu, a stump which is fixed well, is unmoving, cannot be moved. Like that, atma is also firm and stiff and unmoving. Unmoving, it's just of the nature of motionlessness, actionlessness, changelessness. Why sarvagatatvat? You have to say, Nityatvatse karana rahitatvat. Okay? Karana rahitatvat. Understand? It's called Nityaha. Nityatvat sarvagataha. Sarvagatatvat sthanuho. Okay, it is all pervasive, it is unmoving. Then, sthiratvat achalaha. Because it's of the nature of unmoving, also immobile. Okay, because of its firmness, it's also what? It is immovable. I am Atma, Ataha, therefore, Sanatanaha, because this is of the nature of, it is immovable also, what do you say, Sanatanaha, Sanatanaha means Chirantanaha, it is Na Karanat Kutaschit Nishpannaha Abhi Navaha Itartaha, Atma is never, 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 never created. Okay, it is eternal, so beginningless, endless, changeless, ever fresh reality. Okay, the truth. This is the said here. Now little Bhashyam comes here. Let us read this. Na
Yetesham Shlokanam
Paunaruktyam
Chodaniyam.
See? Shankara says very carefully here. Na chodaniyam. Na chodaniyam. What does he say? You should not question, it should not be questioned. You should not be doubted. You should not be asked. What should not be asked here? Yetesham shlokanam paunaruktyam. Paunaruktyam means repetition. Punaruktihi means what? Repeating. Okay? Paunaruktyam means repetition. Yetesham shlokanam paunaruktyam na chodaniyam. Okay? The repetition of the meaning of these verses. See, the subject matter is repeated here. The subject matter revealed in one verse is repeatedly said in other verses. And we may feel bored. Oh, we know very well. What is the big deal? We already know very well. Why is it repeated here? Na chodaniyam. Paunaruktyam na chodaniyam. See, it's called in literature, one stated matter is repeated again. It is called error of repetition. Then you will lose marks. In writing composition or poetry, if something has been something said once is repeated there, same idea, same view, same thing, then we lose marks. Why? Oh, you repeat more than once. Once said, it's appreciated. Twice said, that's lost. You lose. It's called big error. It loses its beauty. It's called Punarukti Doshaha. In general literature, we have Punarukti Doshaha, the error of repetition. But in Vedanta Shastram, when Atma, nature of the Atma is discussed, when nature of Anatma is discussed, you think something is repeated here, how many ever times it is repeated, there is no Punarukti Doshaha, there is no error of repetition. Why? Because everything else, okay, in language and things, if things are repeated, we feel bored with that. But here, even if you feel bored, doesn't matter, because it only enhances your clarity, it strengthens your clarity, it ascertains your vision. Therefore, it's a cluster matter. If we're discussing the subject matter happens to be, Atma is the subtlest thing to be known. You know that? Because knowing, a knowledge of any object is what? External to the mind. But not your subject is what? Something non-external to the mind. Understand? Therefore, non-separate from the mind. Therefore, it's the subtlest thing. Mind itself is subtle. Please listen carefully. Mind is the subtlest of manifestations. Of all the manifestations, mind is subtlest of manifestations. Therefore, if the mind is subtlest of manifestations, what about the knowledge? Knowledge of anything also is a state of mind. Subtle manifestation, isn't it? When you say, hey, knowledge of anything is a state of mind, it's a subtle manifestation. knowledge also is manifestation. Isn't it? When you say that, what about the very source of knowledge? The origin of knowledge? Much subtler. Therefore, it needs the ascertainment of the vision of the reality, the Atma, which is the very source of knowledge, needs repetition. The clarity is dependent on requires repetition. Therefore, Shankara says very clearly, Shankara knows our buddhi here, definitely. 2 o'clock, these people are going to study Vedanta, and that's a Bhashyam class. And then they must be feeling very tired and sleepy. So better let me tell here, he must have assumed that we are going to study here in 2008, say October, on one fine Saturday, like this, when there's some nice sun in London. So, he says, Na yetesham shlokanam paunaruktyam chodaniyam. Don't question about this, the repetition of the shlokas. What is achedyam adahyam? Again, nainam chindanti shastrani achedyaha. Nainam dahiti pavakaha nada adahyaha. Na kledaha, na apaha kledayanti. Again, you are saying akledyaha. Martaha na associati. Again, you say I am atma associaha. What is this repetition? No, come on, sure. Don't say that. Yetesham shloka nam paunaruktyam na chodaniyam. Repetition of the shloka should not be questioned at all. Yataha, listen, why? Because the yataha always means what? Yasma, because. Yataha means because. Because yataha also is another indeclinable word, which means because. Yataha yekena yeva shlokena Atmanaha nityatvam avikriyatvam cha uktam. Why? Because by one shloka, yekena yeva shlokena, by one shloka, Atmanaha nityatvam, the eternity of the Atma, the nature of the Atma being eternal, and the nature of the Atma being the changelessness, have already been said by one shloka. Okay? Through one shloka, it has been already revealed. Which shloka? Najayate mriyate vakada chit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuyaha. Na ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha nahanyate hanyamane sharire. This one was itself Atma's. No, ajo nitya shashvatoyam purano nahanyate hanyamane sharire. This has been already said. Atmanaha nityatvam has already been said. Atmanaha avikriyatvam, the change, Atma's nature being changeless. Okay, the changelessness, the nature of the Atma being changeless also has already been said in the shloka previously. Then, therefore, we can ask why. Tatra yadeva atma vishayam kinchit uchyate tat yetasmat shloka arthat na atirichyate. Kinchit shabdataha punaruktam kinchit arthataha iti. See, what he says is, it has been said actually, even though it has been said very little, what has been said in the one verse, it has been said already, that's okay, but it has been said very little, not enough. Even though it has been said earlier, it is not there in that one verse. Whatever has been said is not enough. Very little has been said about the nature of the Atma. It has to be said again. It has to be made very clear. Has to be made very, very clear. That is why it is repeated. Therefore, you please don't question about it. We have to question, but still, this says. Durbodhatvate
दुर्बोधत्वात्
आत्मवस्तुनः
पुनः
पुनः
पुनः पुनः.
सी हौ हि शंकरा सेज सो ब्यूटिफुल किंडर गार्डन शी हि सेज नाउ पुनः पुनः अगेन एंड अगेन हि नो सपोज इफ यू फील बोर्ड हियर इट्स आल्सो वन टेस्ट दैट मीन्स यू आर नॉट रेडी फॉर सेल्फ नॉलेज द अर्ज फॉर सेल्फ नॉलेज इज नॉट इनफ ओके दैट मीन्स यू बी सेंट बैक होम And you had come back again when you feel hungry for this knowledge. That means what? He says, really, the real seeker will not feel bored. Will be glad about it. Understand? What he says here. See, Shankara says, I'm not saying this. So he says, tat दुर्बोधत्वाते आत्मवस्तुनः पुनः पुनः प्रसंगम् आपाद्य शब्दांतरेण तदेव वस्तु निरूपयति भगवान वासुदेवः. शंकरा सेस कम ऑन आई एम नॉट रिपीटिंग हियर. शंकरा सेस भगवान वासुदेवः दिस कृष्णा इज रिपीटिंग हियर. वाइ पुनः पुनः प्रसंगम् आपाद्य अगेन एंड अगेन. Now he finds some context to talk about the nature of the Atma. Prasangam asadhyadi apadhyaya durbodhatvat atma vastunaha. Durbodhatvam means what? Okay, because of the incorrect knowledge. Okay, incorrect understanding. Wrong knowledge. Wrong knowledge means what? Wrong knowledge implies ignorance. Okay, due to the ignorance of the Atma, because we have wrong understanding. If we do not understand, no problem. I tell you, lack of knowledge is not a problem, but erroneous knowledge is the problem. Therefore, durbodha is problem. Understand? If you don't have knowledge, it's okay, but because durbodha is here. Therefore he says durbodhatvat atma vastunaha, because atma vastu is, you know, because of the erroneous knowledge of the self, the atma vastu, substance, the atma, punaha punaha prasangam apadya shabdantarena, na hold, I mean, seeing the, in the given context, using different words, through different words, shabdantarena, through other words also, tadeva vastu, the same substance, nirupayati means he establishes, he proves the nature of the Atma. Bhagavan Krishna establishes the nature of the Atma, be Atma. Okay, what nature of the Atma? Atma is eternal, all pervasive. Atma is indestructible, therefore it is unmovable, it is immovable, because there is nothing other than, there is no second thing other than the Atma. If at all there is something other than the Atma, there is Anatma, which is not a second thing, which is another order of the same reality. Tadeva vastu nirupayati Bhagavan Vasudevaha katham nu nama avyaktam samsarinam असंसारित्व बुद्धिगोचरताम आपन्नम सत संसार निवृत्तये स्यात् इति. सी भगवान वासुदेवः निरूपयति. भगवान कृष्णा इज एस्टैब्लिशिंग नेचर ऑफ रियलिटी. वी इज ऑलरेडी देयर. नो ही एस्टैब्लिशेस द मींस व्हाट? ही मेक्स इट वेरी क्लियर टू द माइंड्स ऑफ पीपल हु आर संसारीस, व्हेन व्हाट, हु आर इवन the gross-minded people, okay, have to understand the abstract fact. Even to see subtle-minded person will understand the abstract fact, who works for it. Even the gross-minded person also cannot be ignored. The gross-minded person also has to be made subtle-minded, thereby he has to be helped to understand this abstract fact, subtle fact. What is the fact? The nature of the reality has to be understood. It's an abstract thing. Therefore, Krishna is repeating. So what he says, புத்தி கோச்சரதாம் ஆபன்னம் சத் சம்சார நிவத்தையே. See, samsara nivrittihi, to free oneself for the elimination of samsaraha, for the elimination of bondage. There is seeming apparent bondage, there is life of transmigration, which is a fact. This life of transmigration, and then this is bondage actually, karma bandaha, and the samsara, and to for the elimination of samsara, to free oneself from this life of transmigration, what is it one needs? One needs to know the nature of the reality, nature of the swarupma of the atma. One, if a person knows swarupma of the atma correctly, then he will also know what the atma is not correctly. Then he will not mistake the anatma for the atma. Then if he takes atma for atma, he is free from all the erroneous notions he has about himself. Thereby he is be free. So samsara nivrittaye, what is it required? This is understanding knowledge of the abstract. Knowledge of the subtlest atma vastu is subtlest substance. So this abstract knowledge of the subtlest thing is what? Abstract knowledge. That should be easy for even the gross-minded person. Who is a gross-minded? Every samsara is a gross-minded, okay? Every samsara is a gross-minded person. We all have buddhi, but we are not subtle enough to grasp. That's all. I tell you, nobody is incapable of grasping, absorbing, grasping anything. Grahana shaktihi, all of us have. But the shakti has to be tapped, and we have to, that's what we say, kushagra buddhihi, tikshna buddhihi, sharp intelligence means what? Mind being subtle. When the buddhi cannot think much, cannot see much, that is the grossness of the mind. Understand? That is one of the reasons we also always in India, we recommend the vegetarian food. Meat eating makes the mind grosser and grosser and grosser. The gross we become mentally, and we really do not see the values, we do not see the things. And it can go take one to the extent of being blind, dripping one's own ignorance and problems. That's what we say, that's one of the reasons we say we have to, even vegetarianism also, not only ahimsa. Ahimsa is the main thing, okay? But it also, all the disciplines, all shamaha, damaha, uparamaha, titiksha, saddha, samadhanam, all the disciplines which are appreciated with even school and all those things, all the disciplines and doing things correctly, having these disciplines, all those things are ultimately to make the mind subtle. Because subtle mind alone can, grasp the abstract substance. It's there. See, vastu is there, buddhi shakti is there, still it is not grasp, only knowledge doesn't take place means what? It is not made ready. Therefore, even the gross mind, samsari is what? One who has identity with the body, mind is complex, one who is given to the problems caused by the, one whose buddhi has been totally rubbed away by the problems of day-to-day life, samsari, and hacha samsari comes to the class once in a while, and suppose even that person has to really grasp it correctly for that purpose. Asamsaritta buddhi gocharatam. Even samsaris who are of grass-mindedness, okay, even for those people to have this vision of the abstract knowledge, thereby they can become free from attain the status of being the asamsaris. For that, samsara nivrittaye, for that sake, Bhagavan Vasudevaha, punaha punaha, again and again, he repeats what he has said earlier through different words. Understand? It is not the, it's not only the ignorance of the self, it is erroneous knowledge of the self. Erroneous knowledge of the self means the mistake, the anatma for the atma. That is the danger here. Understand? If you do not know atma also, you will have bliss, like animals. This ignorance is total. But here what happens? You mistake the anatma for the atma. That misconception causes all sorts of problems. Therefore, the error in perception has to be corrected. That is why he says, Durbodhatvat atma vastunaha punaha punaha prasangam apadya shabdantarena tadeva vastu nirupayati Bhagavan Vasudevaha katham nama avyaktam. Avyaktam is what? Which is not available for the understanding. In this context, avyakta means don't take maya or anything. Now, in this context, here, the word avyakta means what is not available for recognition for a samsari. For samsaris, atma surupam, atma is very much there. There atma surupam is very much available there, but it is not recognized. Atma surupam, which is there as the very meaning of the word I, is not recognizable for, understand, this is avyaktam. Not being recognizable is what? Avyaktam. It remains unrecognized. Atma Surupam remains unrecognized for by this samsari, the gross matter person. And therefore, even for those samsaris, who do not have the correct recognition of, who have not recognized the Surupam or the Atma, those people also recognize Rupma, the Atma, have the abstract vision of the abstract reality, understanding, thereby become free from what? Samsara. For that purpose, Bhagavan Vasudevaha repeats. This is what is said by Shankara. Shankara defends Krishna. Why Bhagavan is repeating? Krishna is repeating too many times. Is it clear now? Therefore, now all of us, if hereafter, whenever I repeat also, you should not question now. Kincha.
Kincha.
Okay. Further, what is he said? Why? Because Krishna, or Shankara must have felt Krishna's repetition, okay? That's why he himself tells us in between. Is it clear now? You want something else, no? Okay.
Avyaktoyam achintyoyam
avikaryoyam uchyate tasmadevam viditvainam Nanashochitumarhasi. Hereafter, I'm going to give you some homework. As I do the verses here, I request you to go home and do the please read the pages on these verses in Gita Home Study book, so that you have thorough understanding, thorough knowledge. I think your class is going on in your house.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's good. So here he says, he continues saying, avyaktaha ayam, achintyaha ayam, avikaryaha ayam, uchyate. See, ayam, this atma, which is nityaha, sarvagataha, sthanahu, achalaha, this atma is said to be avyaktaha, achintyaha, avikaryaha. First we said, okay, not only it is not available for tangibly, it cannot be destroyed. It's not tangible at all, first of all. Okay, tangible things cannot destroy. Not only that, it is avyaktaha. Avyaktaha means what? Avyaktaha literally means unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? It is not available for perception as an object of knowledge. Please understand, avyaktaha literally means unmanifest. anatma is manifest, okay? Anatma is manifest in different forms. The matter is available for objectification through perception. Therefore, it's what? Anatma becomes, anatma is vyaktam bhavati, avyaktam also bhavati. Anatma either remains as unmanifest or becomes manifest. When the anatma is manifest, it is available for objectification through perception. Therefore, anatma alone becomes vyaktam. Listen carefully. Anatma alone becomes vyaktam. The unmanifest anatma becomes manifest, becomes vyaktam. Once it becomes vyaktam, it is perceptible. Once it is perceived, it is what? It is objectified. It is available for objectification, available for knowing, available as an object of knowledge. Therefore, it is vyaktam. But what about atma? Atma is, don't think atma is unmanifest. It is wrong to say atma is unmanifest. Okay? Atma shakti is manifest. But atma is what? Atma is never available for perception. It is not available for sense perception. It is imperceptible through senses. It is not available for thought perception also. It is not available for sense perception means what? Atma is avyakta means it is unmanifest. Unmanifest means what? It is imperceptible. Imperceptible means what? It is not available for perception through any of the senses as one of the sense objects. Oh, not only it is not available for sense perception, it is not available for thought perception also. That means what? How you can't see your headache, you can't see your, smell your headache, you can't hear your headache, you can't taste your headache, you can't touch the headache, but still you can know the headache. Understand? That is what available, being available for thought perception. Understand? So, like that, like headache is available for thought perception, not the headache, even hunger is available for thought perception. Thirst is available for thought perception. Your pain, emotional pain available for thought perception, not for sense perception. Atma is neither in the form of thought nor in the form of external object. Therefore, Atma is imperceptible. It is not available for sense perception or thought perception. Therefore, it is totally imperceptible. That means it is unobjectifiable. It is available for recognition only as the subject of knowledge. Therefore, it is avyaktam. Then avyaktaha. Then he says achintyaha. Same thing. Okay. Achintyaha means what? People say inconceivable. Chintyaha means that which can be thought of. Even if you don't see it now, I can tell you, okay, how does the something look? I say you can imagine, you can conceive in your mind, how does diamond shine? A piece of diamond shine. You can conceive. Chintyaha. Understand? Don't see it through physical eyes, but you can, if you have seen elsewhere, and you can now chintyaha. How does that something taste? I can ask, you can say chintyaha. You don't say it expressly, but still you can imagine how it tastes. So chintyaha means that which can be conceived mentally. How it looks, how it tastes, how it sounds, how it is, you can think how it will look, it may be. But Atma is never, Atma cannot be, oh, this is how Atma looks. You recognize, you know it, you cognize. Atma is available for cognition, recognition, knowledge, understanding as the very subject, as the very source of knowledge. It can never be, you can't conceive, you can't imagine how it will be. Understand?
An object which is objectifiable, perceptible, external objects, anything can be chintyaha. But Atma is what? Achintyaha. Why? Because Atma is the very source of thought, chintanam. Chintanasya eva surukum is what? Atma. Atma, the consciousness, is the very source of the thought, where the thought rises. Understand? Chintyaha means that anything external to the mind is chintyaha, and the very surupam of the mind is achintyaha. Is it clear? Achintyaha. Then, avyaktaha, I am achintyaha, avikaryaha. Then, we say avikaryaha. Vikaryaha means what? That which is modifiable is vikaryaha. Avikaryaha means unmodifiable, unchangeable. Why? Because Atma is, already we have seen, avikriyatvam is Atmanaha sarupam. Changelessness is the nature of the Atma. Why changelessness is the nature of the Atma? Because sthanuhu. Understand? Why? Because it is sarvagatatvata, sthiratvam, sthiratvata, what? Avikriyatvam. Avikriyatvata, anashitvam. Okay? Therefore, it cannot be destroyed. Therefore, avikaryaha. Therefore, it is I am avyaktaha, I am achintyaha, I am avikaryaha, this self. Tasmat. Tasmat. Tasmat means what now? Krishna finished summing up the nature of the Atma, nature of the Anatma also. Understand now? Don't think he has talked only about the Atma. When he talked about the Atma, he also talked about the Anatma. Anta vantayime dehaha. We saw that. Understand? He also talked about the nature of the Anatma. Therefore, tasmat, therefore, evam viditva enam. Having known, having understood the nature of the Atma to be such as what? Imperceptible. Okay, inconceivable, and it's also what? It is unchangeable, indestructible, etc. Knowing the nature of Atma to be that, viditva enam, na anushochitum arhati. You don't need to grieve. You don't understand? If you still grieve, you are immature. So he makes it very clear. Anushochitam. Shochitam means to grieve. To continue to grieve is what? Anushochitam. The anu means what? We grieve. Okay, it is natural for one to grieve. But to continue to grieve is foolishness. Why? How long can you grieve? As long as you don't understand the nature of the Atma, you are allowed to grieve. But you are accepted to be immature. You are allowed to be innocent for some time, and then you are allowed to grieve also as an immature person, but Shastram does not, no? Shastram says, no, we can't afford to, no? You can't afford to be innocent for very long to be anymore. You have to become mature. You have to understand. Yenam viditva, having understood the nature of the Atma to be such, then anushochitum na arhasi. You don't need to continue to grieve. You don't deserve any grief, really speaking. Grieving implies immaturity. Immaturity implies your lack of understanding of the facts, lack of the capacity to accept the facts. The lack of capacity to accept the facts implies a lack of understanding of the facts. Okay? Your lack of understanding of the facts implies your lack of knowledge of the nature of the two orders of the same reality. There is no second thing, really speaking. All that is, there is only Atma. But there is something called Anatma, which is Mithya. Satyam is only one. You can't, there's one mithya, one satyam, you can't count. You can't say, no, wave is one, water is one. Therefore, there are two things. No. Mithya, wave is mithya. Satyam is only one. Two different orders of the only reality. Therefore, what is there to? And this, the mithya is of this nature, and satyam is of this nature. You mistake the mithya for the satyam. That is the problem. Otherwise, there is no problem. If you don't mistake mithya for satyam, you look at mithya as mithya, you accept there is no problem. You can't afford to be grieving anymore. So, Shankara says here, avyaktaha ayam iti. He says, sarvakarana.
Sarvakarana.
Avishayatvat.
Avishayatvat.
Na vyajyate.
Na vyajyate.
Iti. Avyaktaha.
Avyaktaha.
Okay. Why avyaktaha? Vyaktaha means manifest. Avyaktaha means unmanifest. Why do you say atma is avyaktaha? Please don't mistake the matter, the causal matter being implied with the word avyaktam. Aravyakritihi. Okay? Here, atma is said to be avyaktaha, unmanifest. Why it is always unmanifest? What does it mean? Na vyajyate. Na vyajyate iti avyaktaha. Na vyajyate ityukte kaha arthaha. So he says, sarva karana avishayatvat. See, vishayatvam means what? An object which has the nature of, which has the status of being object. An object which has the status of being an object, of perception. Is what? Vishayatvam. If I say, look at this. Specs has Vishayatvam. Vishayatvam means what? Enjoying a status of being an object of perception. Understand? Now light has Vishayatvam. Light is Vishayaha. Light has Vishayatvam. Light is an object perceptible through the eyes, sense organ called eyes, and it has what? It has Vishayatvam. It has the status of being an object. Why? It has perceptibility. Understand? It is perceptible. Similarly, sound has Vishayatvam. Why? Sound is perceptible through the sense organ called ear. So anything which is perceptible is what? Has Vishayatvam, has the status of being an object. If an object is not perceptible, it cannot have what? Perceptibility. It cannot have the status of being an object. Understand? So here, Atma has what? Atma has Vishayatvam or not? No. Atma does not have the status of being an object. Why? It has doesn't have the status of being an object. Kimartam atmanaha avishayatvam. Why it doesn't have the status of being an object? Because atma is not perceptible. Okay? Something is perceptible, then it has what? It has the status of being an object. A non-existent object also can be perceived. Look at this. Non-existent object cannot be perceived here. But here Atma is not non-existent. Atma is very existence. Atma exists, but still it does not have the status of being an object because it is not perceptible. Why it is not perceptible? Because, look at this here, sarvakarana avishayatvat. It cannot be perceived through any of the senses, not even it's available for thought perception. Achintyaha, imperceptible, not available for thought perception, and avyaktaha, not available for sense perception. Understand now? Therefore, sarvakarana avishayatvat na vyajyate. It is not manifest. Then how Atma is available?
Atma is available for recognition not as the Vishaya but as the Vishayi, but as the subject. Okay, it has Vishayitvam, not the Vishayatvam. Understand now? Atma is never available for objectification, never available for perception, but never can it enjoy the status of being an object. Why? Because Atma is always the subject. Why? Because Sarva Karana Adharaha is Atma. Atma is the very substratum, very locus, very existence, very source of existence of all these means of knowledge. Understand? Mind exists in Atma. The senses have their being in Atma. How can the senses and mind, which have the, all these means of knowledge, which have their being in Atma, perceive the Atma? Therefore, he says, Atma can never be the object. Therefore, it is what? Said to be unmanifest. Is it clear now? Manifest means an object alone is manifest. Subject is never manifest. But the manifest object is evident to the Atma. Atma is the evidence for the manifestation of the objects. Atma is evidence for the evident manifest objects. Therefore, avyakta ayam atma ataha eva. Ataha eva means, therefore, that is why, he says, Shankara says, ataha eva means, that is why, exactly he means, that is why, atma is said to be what? Ataha eva, ata eva. Okay, avishayatvat sarvakarana avishayatvat na vyajyate iti avyaktah. Ayam atma ataha eva achintyaha ayam. Therefore what? Because it's unmanifest, it's also not you cannot imagine, it is unimaginable, inconceivable. Then yat. Yes. He indriya gocharaha tat chinta vishayatvam apadyate. Very beautiful. He says yat indriya gocharaha, okay, anything which is available for sense perception. Indriya gocharaha means what? Anything which is available for sense perception. Indriya gochara means knowable through senses. Gocharam means what? Knowable through senses. Indriya gochara means sense perception. Anything which is available for sense perception alone, chinta vishayam apadyate, that alone can be an object of thought also. Okay? An object of sense perception alone can be an object of thought perception also, or object of thought also. You can think of an object which has been heard, which has been seen, which has been smelled, which has been tasted, which has been touched. Understand? What can you discuss about? A thing which has not been known, perceived through any of the senses means, which has not been known, okay, cannot become an object of thought. Then atayeva achintyaha, he says, atayeva achintyaha. Then he says, yathi indriya gocharaha tat chinta vishayatvam apadyate. Then ayantu atma anindriya gocharatvat achintyaha. Okay, because this Atma is what? Atma is not Indriya Gocharaha. Atma is Indriya Agocharaha. Atma is not available for sense perception. Therefore, it's what? It's available for thought perception also, Achintyaha. Therefore, also he says, Avikaryaha Ayam.
Avikarya.
Okay. Yatha. Avikariha means what? Unmodifiable, unchangeable. Okay. Yatha. Kshiram. Dadhyadi. Dadhyatanchanadina. Vikari. Na tatha. Ayam atma. Okay. Atanchanam means no fermenting. Okay. Atanchanam. Look at this, Richardji. Got a word for now. Atanchanam. Okay. Dadi atanchanam. Yata kshiram. Shankara says, atma is avikara means what? It doesn't undergo any change. It's not modifiable. Like what? Dadi, the yogurt, the curd. No? The atanchanam. No? Kshiram means milk. The milk through the fermentation of the adding of the yogurt. If you add the little bit of yogurt to the milk gets fermented, it becomes yogurt. Milk undergoes a change. It gives up its nature of being the milk and it attains another form of yogurt. Understand? When dadi is added, like dadi, adding of dadi into the milk can modify the form of the milk. Then milk is what? Vikaryaha. Like that, Atma is not, Atma Swarupam cannot be modified or changed. It is always Jnana Swarupam. Atma is always awareness, always consciousness, never undergoes a change. Janame, Janame. Nagras is always, it's there, knowing what is not. Not through action, just by being. Okay, therefore, is it clear? I think I make it very clear. Vikari, okay, he says, Yatha kshiram dadi atanchanadina vikari. Kshiram becomes what? Which undergoes a change. Na tatha ayam atma. Atma is not like that. Na modifiable. Then he says, nir avayavatvat. Say?
Nir avayavatvat.
Cha?
Cha.
Avikriyaha.
Avikriyaha.
So, atma is of the nature of pure knowledge. It is not modifiable like the milk, which becomes yogurt, undergoes a change by the addition of yogurt. Similarly, Atma, nir avayavatvat, due to its partlessness, due to the nature of being partless, Atma doesn't have many parts. Okay, if anything which has parts is subject to get divided, division. But here, nir avayavatvat, avikriyaha, I tell you one thing, not only it is divisible, not only Atma is indivisible, it is also what? Avikriyaha. It is unchangeable. Anything which has many parts, many limbs, is subject to change. But which does not have any parts and divisions and sections and things, it is not subject to change. Nir avayavatvat avikriyaha. Katam atma avikriyaha, unmodifiable, unchangeable, because it is, he says, Niravayavatvat, nahi, niravayavam, kinchit, vikriyatmakam drishtam. We never heard, never saw anything which has many parts undergoing changes. Avikriyatvat, avikaryaha. He finished explaining why it is avikaryaha. He gives two reasons. Okay. I am atma uchyate. So avikriyatvat, avikriyaha, I am atma uchyate. This atma is said to be the unchangeable because of its nature of changelessness. Why changelessness? Because of it is partlessness, divisionlessness. Tasma, it is of the nature of changelessness because it is partless, one indivisible whole. தஸ்மாத் ஏவம் யதோக்த பிரகாரேண தஸ்மாத் தேர்ஃபோர் அர்ஜுனா ஏவம் மீன்ஸ் வாட் இன் திஸ் மேனர் இன் விச் மேனர் ஹீ சேஸ் யதா உக்த பிரகாரேண ஆஸ் இட் ஹாஸ் பீன் ஸ்டேட்டட் எக்ஸ்பிளைன்ட் அன்போல்டட் இன் தீஸ் வெர்சஸ் வாட் ஹாஸ் பீன் எக்ஸ்பிளைன் அன்போல்டட் இன் தீஸ் வெர்சஸ் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா ஏனம் ஆத்மானம் விதித்வா ஹேவிங் நோன் தி ஆத்மா நோயிங் தி ஆத்மா அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்டிங் தி நேச்சர் ஆஃப் தி ஆத்மா கிளியர்லி ஆஸ் இட் ஹஸ் பீன் அன்போல்ட் இன் தீஸ் வெர்சஸ் துவம் அனுசோசித்தும் ந அர்ஹசி அனுசோசித்தும் அர்ஹசி யூ கான்ட் அஃபோர்ட் டு கிரீவ் அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் You should not be grieving. You don't need to grieve. Hanta aham esham maya yete hanyante iti. Oh, I am the destroyer of all these people who have come to the battlefield and all these people are going to be destroyed by me. Maya yete hanyante iti. I am the destroyer of all these people. All these people are going to be destroyed by me. Thinking, saying this, you don't need to grieve anymore. What are you grieving for? Who are you the destroyer? Are these people destroyed by you? Who is the destroyer? Who are the destroyed? Okay? That is really speaking. If once you are free from the notion that I am the destroyer, you are not destroyer. What does the I do? So the meaning of the word I is what? Atma. What is Atma? Satyam. Satyam is what? The consciousness. What is consciousness? This is the nature of the Atma. And that is, now we have understood what? Atma is of the nature of changelessness, actionlessness, motionlessness, silence. Atma is of the nature of pure knowledge. Understand? And therefore, Atma is unmodified. Atma is, when you say avikriyaha, chintyaha, when you understood all these things, okay, how can you say, I do it? Where is the I? Really speaking, because we don't see, with our minds do not really see. All that is here is, okay, it's like when we can count the waves. So many waves are there. It is true. We don't say it is not there. Waves do exist, but really speaking, from the standpoint of the water, there's only one reality called water. All the waves are what? Another order of the same water. Mithya. Water is satyam, waves are mithya. The standpoint of mithya, you see the plurality is very much real. Empirically, duality, plurality is real. But absolutely, there is no plurality, multiplicity, duality, countability is not real. Okay, absolutely non-duality is real. Absolutely. And therefore, but at the same time, who destroys what? Who is the destroyer? Really speaking, what is the meaning of the word I? Tell me. Meaning of the word I is not object, the very subject. Is that subject involved in any of the actions? No. The mind schemes anatma. Mind has agony. Everything is happening only in the mind. And the mind impels actions. Then the same body is involved in actions. Understand? And one anatma can bring about a change on the part of another anatma. The change is only relative destruction. Not total destruction. Even if understand, that is the nature. But Atma is not involved in any of these things. But minus Atma, nothing can. Anatma has no existence at all. But all our worry is, we are concerned about Anatma killing Anatma, Anatma destroying or working on another Anatma. We are worried about the Atma being the destroyer. That is the problem here. If we give up that notion of Atma is not the destroyer, I the Self am the Atma, the consciousness, no? That is a fact. It's a truth. This vision has to be ascertained. That vision, all our error in perceptions will change. And it's a subtlest fact. And this is the understanding of the subtlest substance also. And discovering which really the mind's search comes to an end. I told you many times. In fact, discovering which the mind really becomes an accomplished mind. Why? Because the enlightened mind, the very mind will resolve in knowing which reality. Okay? That is why they said it paravidya. Is it clear now? So we'll continue next class.